So I have a little story for you. A nurse on a pediatric ward, before listening to the little one's chest, she would plug the stethoscopes into their ears and let them listen to their own heart. And their eyes would light up with awe. But she never got the response quite as equal to a four-year-old named David. Gently, she tucked the stethoscope into his ears and placed the disc over his heart. "Listen," she said. "What do you suppose that is?" He drew his eyebrows together in a puzzled line and looked up as if lost in the mystery of the strange tap, tap, tap deep in his chest. And then his face broke out into a wondrous grin and he asked, "Is that Jesus knocking?" Amen. From the mouths of babes. Well, we have been looking at prayer the last couple of weeks, and I'm not sure. Liz, do you want to make sure the mouse is on the PowerPoint screen? There we go, yeah. Technology is wonderful, but boy, it's finicky and persnickety at times. This particular PowerPoint happens to like the mouse on the screen. And I'm not talking about a squeaking mouse. Okay, so we've been talking about prayer. Well, this is part four. Last week we talked about intercession, and we're actually going to continue in intercession, but we're going to look at it through the idea of corporate prayer. Now, I want to give us a bit of an overview. When we looked at what the word, here's our main scripture for the prayer is, "I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people." And we've already covered all of them. And again, we're just continuing on in intercession. And I just want to tell you, this is not an exhaustive study on prayer. You're getting just a little taste, okay, that what we've been looking at. When we look at the word intercession, we understand there's the Greek. It means to address, petition, or supplication to God for oneself or for another. And that it often involves a conflict that must be confronted, an injustice in the realm of the spirit. Now, it manifests in the world, but it's started in the realm of the spirit. It is, and this is intercessory prayer, is mighty in pulling down strongholds and creating breakthroughs. How many of us know we need breakthrough? Not only in our own lives and our own family, but we need breakthrough in the world here today. And it doesn't take no for an answer. Now again, we are not petitioning God saying, "I'm not leaving until you say no." We are taking from the kingdom of God and bringing to the word, into the earth, the word of the Lord that is truth, and we're not taking no for an answer for the world, that it is not going to continue as it has been. Again, I think you understand that. All right. So then we also looked, last week we talked about the order of Melchizedek, and that Jesus is our high priest and king in the order of Melchizedek, and that when we look now at 1 Peter 2:9, it talks about you are a chosen people, what? Royal priesthood. And so we understand that our high priest and our king, that we are his people, we are a royal priesthood. And we know that the priesthood represents the people, represents the people to God. We take our petitions to God, before God. And that the king, the royal kingness of us, gives us the authority to bring the rule of the kingdom into earth. We have this to God, from God to earth. And we continue that, okay? So again, we've talked about that intercession often involves a conflict of an injustice in the realm of the spirit. God has put, and it's complete, we sang this morning, all is mine. It is already done in Christ, everything. And if there's injustices that aren't lining up with what the word of God says, that's where we step in to bring the kingdom. We are ambassadors for Christ. Right, Scott? We were just praying that in the back this morning. So we're going to continue looking at intercessory prayer today, but again, we're going to focus in more on the corporate. But before I do that, I want to introduce another little topic of prayer, and that is the prayer of faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, it is pointless to pray a prayer without faith. It is really just words. But if you have faith, I love this part, those who earnestly seek him. I want you to think of, you know, there are what I will call unbelievers, atheists. You can attach any other word to describe them. But in a moment that anyone comes and says, God, if you're there, and earnestly is looking for God, that's what I'm going to call mustard seed faith. It's tiny. It's like, I don't know if you're there. I don't think you're there. I don't know. But if you are, really, if you are, show yourself to me. Which is totally different than the unbelieving person who says, God, if you're there, prove it. One is earnestly seeking and the other is arrogance. So again, when we come to the prayer of faith, we look, first here's the thing, you have to believe that God hears you. You believe he exists and he hears you. That can be a struggle right from the start for some of us. Because we don't know if God hears us, or we don't think if we don't see a result the way we want it, that God doesn't hear us. Yes, he does. That's right. He hears us, no matter what we think should be the outcome of that. Number two, is it God's will you're praying? Now, let's talk about this. If you're praying for someone's salvation or to be saved, is that his will? How about healing? How about blessing? How about increase? Yes. How about prosperity? Yes. Wisdom? Yes. Guidance? Yes. Counsel? Yes. What about seeing people released from bondage? Yes. Released from darkness? Yes. Released from deception? Yes. And released from spiritual blindness? Yes. Again, that is not a final list, but boy, we know these things. So are you praying God's will if you're praying those things? Yes. And will he hear you? Yes. And then here's an interesting one. Send the laborers to bring in the harvest. A prayer of faith believes there's a harvest and there are laborers. You know, it's interesting if you read in the scriptures where Jesus is talking to his disciples about pray for the laborers to bring in the harvest. Who are the first ones he sends out? The ones he's asked to pray. They went out. They were the first to go out. So that means, oh, okay, I'm not going to pray that one then. We're going to come around to that in a minute. So again, when you're not sure about God's will on something, seek his guidance. Ask the Holy Spirit. You know, in James 1, it says, verses 5 and 6, you know this, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously. Our God is generous. He gives you wisdom without finding fault. He's not looking for a reason not to give it to you. If you ask, he'll give it to you. And then it goes on a little bit further down and it says, but when you ask, don't doubt. God is faithful to his word, to what he says. He said he would do it. Don't doubt. He will give you wisdom. Now, I'm going to take that and I'm going to put that into the context of the laborers. If you don't have a passion to go out and seek the lost, ask God, who gives generously, that passion. Anyhow, you kind of get my drift? Okay. So in all kinds of prayers, we want to have them all to be prayers of faith. Now, I think we understand that the world is becoming a darker place, if we can put it that way. But there is a move in the land to come back, the church to come back to prayer. There is that push in the land for the heart of the believer that by his Spirit, he is trying to wake up his church to the need for breakthrough prayer. He wants to stir a passion in our hearts for prayer, for breakthrough prayer, for a wider purpose. than sometimes we've been praying. You see, quite often, when we think about this, when we think about prayer, we kind of go at it like, get me a bigger house or a better house, a better car, better finances. You know, always kind of about what's going on in your world. And I want you to understand something. These matter to God too, okay? They matter to God. God wants to prosper us. He wants to see us go. But again, he prospers us not just for our own comfort and benefit, though there is comfort and benefit that comes with it, but so that we can be a blessing, okay? But when we come to this, I want you to know something. There is an order to the way we pray. Matthew, you guys are going to know this, 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Sometimes we're about building our kingdom first. When everything's going well in my world, in the way my little spirit, then I will pray beyond these. I will seek the purposes and the things of God that are wider than my sphere. Where God says, no, no, come along, seek my kingdom first and my righteousness. And who is our righteousness? Jesus. You know, sometimes we wonder why we see all these wonderful, beautiful promises and principles of God in Scripture, but we don't see them manifesting in our lives. And quite honestly, sometimes it's because we're seeking our kingdom first. I'm just saying, let's get real. If it's pricking your spirit this morning, okay, yay. You guys go, that's mean. No, it's not. The Lord wants to bring you into such fullness of him. And by understanding those little things that the Spirit touches our conscience with to help us change, brings us into the, you know, letting go of the things that are holding us back from all that he has. I was going to say, let's put it this way, where it says, so you're seeking your kingdom first. I'm going to just kind of give you a little illustration here. Let's say the neighborhood in which you live is full of gangs. Well, I know we're Camrose, so we're not kind of, you know, New York or Chicago or whatever, but it's full of gangs or, you know, unsavory types, let's put it that way, whose lifestyle is not great. And so your prayer is, Lord, could you move me to a better place? And so you move to a different neighborhood. But guess what? You find that that neighborhood is full of arrogant, snobby, unfriendly people. So then you say, Lord, move me to a better place. So you can see that your focus is about building your kingdom rather than starting at praying for the neighborhood that you were in to begin with. These people who are in darkness and caught in the lies of the enemy, blinded all the way along, actually. And that's what we're called to. We're called to the bigger, the wider purposes of God. We're called to pray for not only our city and our province, but the governments, the country, and countries. And God said, listen, ask of me, and I'll give you not just a nation, nations. But we have to be faithful with the little before he puts us in charge of much. Faithful with the little, the neighborhood, the next door neighbor, the friend that doesn't know, the community. My niece and her husband several years ago were a part of a ministry called, it was called Move In. And what it was is they were raising up couples and that to move into neighborhoods that needed to know the truth of Jesus. They didn't choose to go to the nice houses and the nice, comfortable things. They went to the uncomfortable places. And she said that they would go out Saturday morning, go into the parks and, you know, with gloves and that, pick up syringes and whatever, clear out the garbage, make friends with the neighbor. Their point was that they wanted to connect with the neighborhood to bring the good news of Jesus there. I thought that was marvelous. That it became about the wider purposes of God. And we know that our country and our world in general needs breakthrough. Breakthrough prayer. Spirit-led kingdom prayer in the order of what God wants to do and how he wants to advance. So I want to ask you right now, whose kingdom are you advancing? Or I'm going to say that, no. Whose kingdom do you, not your advancing, do you see advancing in the world? Is it Jesus or is it the enemies? Now, I'm going to say there are places where we see the kingdom advancing, but we also see the enemy. And why do you think it is that we see the enemy advancing? Time is short, and I'm going to say the church is sleepy or sleeping. In Revelation, I'm going to bring this one up here. Revelation 3, verses 1 to 3, it says, "And to the angel of the church at Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of the Lord and the seven stars. I know your deeds and that you have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. You are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my Lord God. Remember, therefore, that you what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you don't wake up, I will come as a thief, and you will not know what time I will come to you." Boy, we don't like to hear that one, do we? Oof. And I'm not speaking that this is Camrose Community Church, but I'm going to say we're part of the church, and this is a word to the church. Wake up. Let me go further. "For I have found your deeds unfinished in my sight." I'm going to pause here for a minute. We know that the majority of our church right now is senior. And sometimes as seniors, we've adopted the way the world sees things, and that is, I'm retired. I don't need to do as much. I don't need to whatever. That's a younger person's. And yet we look at the saints of the old. I'm just going to go Moses, because we all know Moses. He started leading the people when he was 80. Wow. Anybody there yet? There might be a few of us, but that means don't stop leading, okay? Don't stop taking hold of what God has given you. The work is unfinished. And I tell you what, if you don't feel strong enough, if you don't feel vibrant enough, you get to go to the Lord and ask him for it. And let him show you what you can do or should do, or maybe he's going to even bolster your body so that you can. Because the work is unfinished in my sight. We've got things to do, folks. I'm going to try and do this without crying. There's a whole world out there that doesn't know Jesus. And our hearts need to be moved for prayer, to pray for them, because they might be our neighbors. They might be our family. It's our community. It's our province, our country, and then again to the world. And the time is getting short, and we know that. Our work is unfinished. Remember, therefore, that what you have received and heard. Anybody heard any good news about Jesus? Do you remember it? Amen. Have you received it? Take fast hold of it? Or are we kind of letting it drop to the sides because we're in our comfortable retirement stage and hey, I'm sorry if I'm sounding a little, you know, pokey, but hey, sometimes we need a little prod in the backhand, right? Hold fast and repent. I love that word, repent. And most of us, I hope most of us, understand the nature of it. It means I recognize something that isn't right. It isn't in line with what God said. I'm not taking the right direction of this. And I need to turn. I need to say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And when you ask for forgiveness, is he faithful and just to forgive you? Yeah, amen. So this isn't a hard thing. He's not going to strike you with a bolt of lightning or anything like that. He's just going to say, child, yeah, I've been waiting for this. And Lord, get me in line with what you want to do. What are your purposes? What is your kingdom? I repent. I hate the last. I don't hate it, but I mean, but if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Do you want to be awake and ready when he comes? Yeah. Yeah. We do. We want to engage the wider purposes of God, seeking first his kingdom. And I say to you again, if you don't have passion for prayer, ask him for it. Ask him for the passion of prayer that will take you into prayer meetings for hours. I think sometimes our prayer closet becomes the only place we pray, and sometimes it's a 10-minute prayer tacked onto the end of our devotional reading, and off we go into the day. And I'm not saying that's everybody. I'm just saying sometimes that's what happens. Life seems to get a hold of us and make us, force us into what we are doing, not what we want to be doing. The wider purposes of God. How about just our community? Knowing Jesus is moving in the hearts of people. Praying for our city hall and governments. Praying with passion. The Lord's passion in our hearts. And I want to tell you, you know what? It's not the person who stands up front preaching the word that changes the world. It's not the ones who are organizing the rallies or it's the ones who are meeting in the prayer rooms, the back rooms, praying and interceding for the ones who get up and speak and organize. God hears those prayers done, if I can put it this way, in secret. It's not really secret, but done behind the scenes. That's where half the work is done. How many of us want to see revival in the land, revival to the things of God? Guess where every revival we see starts? In the prayer room. Now, again, we've been talking about prayer, and I'm going to go into right now a little more specifically intercessory prayer. Truly, I tell you, Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I want you to know that it says whatever is bound on earth and loosed on in heaven, it's already been loosed in heaven, is how the translations should be putting it. It's already done in Jesus. Whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. Now, we've already covered that, so I'm not going to get into that today. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there with them. So we want to understand something. It doesn't matter the size of the prayer group. But I want to say this to you. Don't let that be an excuse not to be a part of a prayer group. So, why is gathering and prayer important? We say, Jesus said, well, get in your closet, quiet place. And when we say closet, well, maybe it is your closet. But it's a quiet place and close the door behind you, put out the world. But he didn't stop and leave it there. As we read in Matthew here, as we gather together, the presence of the Lord is in us. And in that, he's always with us in one, but he's with us. His presence is there. If I could put it this way, Holy Spirit in you, Holy Spirit in me, Holy Spirit in you. And as we come together, there is just more strength and power. Not that the Holy Spirit is diminished in any way, but there just comes a synergy as we come together. And we know that the Lord is in our midst. I want you to remember the story about Jesus who goes to raise the little girl from the dead. And he gets there and all the women are weeping and wailing and crying because she's dead. And he says, why, you know, no, she's not. She's merely asleep. And of course they mock him, you know, you don't know. You know, what's this guy? And you know what he does? He puts them out of the room. The unbelief is put out of the room. So that the strength and the power of the believers is there. And of course, we know what happens. The little girl rises from the dead. Get up, little girl. And she does. So there is something that happens when those who believe are gathered together. There's something in that prayer. We can shape our cities, our province, our country. We can shape the mission field, the government, the world. And again, we're not shaping, I love that song. It's not about me, it's about Christ in me. What he does, what he wants, through me, he will. Now, we're going to look at this scripture again, but we're going to do it backwards. We're going to start with verse 10. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them. There is just a manifest presence of the Lord when we gather. 200 or 300. 200 or 300. He is there in our midst. What would happen if we had a prayer meeting with 200 or 300 and people in agreement? In agreement with the Lord's word. Again, I tell you that if two are on you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father. When we come in line with the word of God, with his plans and his purposes, when we're in agreement, and I'm telling you, you could be sitting in a prayer meeting, we may not be saying exactly the same scripture or whatever, but it all ties into something. We're saying the same thing as God, moving. It will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Promise of God, he is faithful. When we look at that word agree, it's the word symphonio, where we get the word symphony, right? The sim means with, and the phono means voice, with one voice. When we come together in agreement with one voice, the Father will do anything you ask. If any of the two of you on earth says something, agrees, the gates of hell cannot prevail against his church, body, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, sorry, all meaning us, can't prevail. We are powerful in the earth and we don't know it and the enemy doesn't want us to know it. But you are. When we come together to pray, when we loose and bind what has already been done in heaven, we will see here in the earth. And we see this prayer gathering happening right from the beginning, right from the birth of the church. Oops, sorry. I'm going to go. Where Jesus told them, listen, I want you to go to Jerusalem. This is just before he ascended. And wait there for the promised Holy Spirit. And what were they doing while they were waiting? It was about 10 days, they figured. They were praying. They came together and they were praying together. And then they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then we see what happened after that. What happened? Peter goes out. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. They're speaking in other tongues. And he starts preaching to the people. And it says that about 5,000 was added. 5,000 was added to the number of the church that day. And in Acts 2:42, it goes on to say, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And everyone was filled with awe and the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. Something happened when the Holy Spirit came upon them. So, are these people baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes, they are. Okay, let's move on. A little later on, we know that John and Peter, they go to the temple courts. There's a lame man who's been lame for his whole life. They pray for him, and he is healed. It draws a crowd, and Peter starts preaching the good news. And, of course, there's priests there. And they hear him. And guess what? Those are the same priests who had Jesus crucified. And they hear him. They see this man healed. They see the people listening. And they take John and Peter. They throw them in prison. And then they bring them before them and demand that they stop preaching the word. This is actually a scripture that Wendell shared with us a couple of weeks ago. Stop preaching. And Paul's response is, how can I deny God to follow you guys? That's not right. John and Peter were threatened then, but they still let them go. Threatened. Don't you do that. Still let them go. And what's the first thing they did? They went to the believers and told them about all that had happened. And it says that the believers gathered together and they raised their voice in prayer to God. Had a spontaneous prayer meeting right there. Whew, praise God. Hallelujah. The man got healed. The Pharisees are throwing us in jail, but this is what we said to them. And this is what they prayed. Now, Lord, consider their hearts, speaking of the Sadducees and Pharisees, and enable your servants to speak your word with greater boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And then it says, and after they had prayed, the place where they met was shaken. And they were all, listen to this, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Who was in that room?
Mary.
Okay, who else? Who were the two that came to bring the good report? John and Peter. Right? And the other believers who were there and been filled with the Holy Spirit. So why does it say here then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit? Because you see, we come to this place, this dividing line in churches and some believers that says, if you have the Holy Spirit, you don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They are two separate things, folks. And you can go through the whole New Testament seeing they are two separate things. You have the Holy Spirit. He lives within you. He dwells within you. He brings the word of God alive, but he refills us. We can call it infilling if we want to. Where he moves inside our hearts and our lives, where he brings the power, and it's something that comes again and again and again. And I want to ask you this. Would you be willing to be in a prayer meeting where the room actually shakes? Or will we get freaked out and run the other direction? Oh, let's be all Beelzebub. I don't know what those people are teaching or doing over there, but I don't think it's God. But yet Jesus said, right? We see it happen. It is for us. It is for today because God never changes. There's no shadow of changing with him. He has gifted us with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, go and wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then what happens? When they ask for it, he gives it. Signs and wonders, well, I'll tell you, starting right there with the shaking of the room. And the greater boldness that came on them, and we know they went out and preached the word. Okay, there's another prayer meeting. We've already talked about this. Peter's in prison this time. And the group is meeting at night and praying for him. Remember, the angel comes and releases him, and he gets out, and he doesn't know whether it's a dream or whatever, but the angel leads him out, and all of a sudden he realizes it's not a dream. He's out of prison. And he walks to the door where the church house a prayer meeting is and knocks on the door, the whole story. And if you don't know the story, you can go there in the Word and look it up and read it for yourself. You see, this wasn't a little 10-minute prayer meeting. They had been praying all night for him. they went before the Lord. They didn't know what was going to happen, but he was in prison. They were pretty sure they were going to execute him. But they got together and prayed till the breakthrough came. And what a crazy breakthrough when the man knocks on the door. Must be his ghost. That's what they said. It's so interesting when we look through the New Testament that most of the prayer meetings has to do with corporate prayer. Most of the prayer, there's about 85% of where it talks about prayers has to do with corporate prayer, coming together to pray together. You know, the thing about that is it really is easier for us to pray alone at home. It's on our time frame. It's where we're comfortable. We can be alone. But when it comes to the corporate gathering, especially in North America, we have this individual site kind of social thing, you know, the individual. But that's not what Jesus is asking of us either. We've become a part of the church, a part of the body, a part of something greater than ourselves. And the thing about coming to prayer meetings, and I'm not talking about just our Sunday night prayer meeting. You could be gathering with two or three or more of you in a house or whatever, but coming for the specific purpose of praying for God's wider, bigger purposes, is it'll cost you something. It costs us. It costs you your time. It costs you travel. It costs you maybe having to speak or pray out loud. Some of that's very intimidating. What would I even say? Well, we can go back to that list that I shared earlier. We are the church, the body, gifted by the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, listen, the Holy Spirit will fill your mouth if you don't know what to pray. He'll give you the words. Amen. And so this morning, here's where I want us to step out of our really comfortable little places in our chairs here. Oh no, she's going to ask us to pray. Yeah, I am. Do we have a phone? Could we shut the phone off? I am going to ask you, I want you to step out of the comfort. Step into the uncomfortableness of it. Trust him to give you the words to say. Trust him to fill your mouth. This is what God is calling his church to do. To come out, gather together and pray to see people set free. Remember, our Revelations 3 says, remember therefore that you have what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent from anything that is stopping you from moving out into the things that God has called us to. This morning, I want us corporately to stand and to pray as the church and repent. And then I'm going to ask us to gather in little groups around the church and pray for one another. And if you need more prayer, you want something else, come on up to the front. I'll pray for you. And when I say repent, I'm not going to say what you have to repent of. I'm going to let you and Holy Spirit deal with that. But I think we know that there are things that we've left unfinished and that we've stepped back from. So let's pray. Father, we come before you. And Lord, we repent. And mostly, Lord, we repent for not having a heart that is so passionate for the world outside our doors that don't know you. Forgive us, Father, where we have not lifted them before you, where we have not taken them to our prayer closet, where we have not gathered with the believers. Forgive us. Stir a passion in our hearts, Lord, for the lost, for those trapped in bondage and darkness whose eyes are spiritually blind to you, Jesus. Stir a passion in our hearts so that we will passionately come in prayer for our city, for our province, for our country, and for the world, Lord. Help us, Lord. And we ask this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, we yield to your power and presence, giving you the glory, Lord, in all things. So be it. I'm just going to ask for you guys to just turn wherever you are with the people that are around you. Gather and pray together. Have a need. Need to pray and lift up family, lost